I'd like to begin tonight and just read a few verses. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 beginning. And the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." We started this morning in our Bible class in the high school and in the adult class the study of the book of Genesis. And so we talked about this morning in class that the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And you can say it's the beginning of creation. God created the heavens and the earth, right? It's the beginning of time. It's the beginning of man. It's the beginning of woman. It's the beginning of marriage. God instituted marriage for us right here with the verses that we just read. And I know Ben did a series not too awful long ago, on kind of marriage and the husband and the wife, the duties of each and those type of things. And I don't want to go back into that and rehash that, but I want us to think about some things about the family relationship. You know, the marriage, as one man said, marriage is an institution today, as an institution, is struggling. He says many seek to redefine what constitutes a marriage. We hear of same-sex marriages, open marriages, polygamy. You name the word, whatever you want to call it. Others decry marriage altogether, preferring just simple cohabitation. Many joke about it. You know, we've all heard the joke about, you know, marriage is a wonderful institution. But who wants to live in an institution, right? You know, the old thing, everybody wants to make jokes and laugh about it. But the family as an institution today is struggling. Husbands and wives often suffer strained relationships. Parents and children are frequently at odds with one another. Much misery in life is due to dysfunctional family relations. I think a lot of the problem has to do with self-centeredness. In our society, people are told to look out for number one in all their relations, whether it's business, family, or whatever it is, look out for number one. Thus, many enter into the marriage relationship and start families with selfish attitudes. Yet no relationship can exist peacefully and lovingly with selfish participants. As we just got through reading, God instituted marriage. And there is a sacredness of marriage. You know, marriage is one of the holiest of relations that two people can have. It is a bond that is created by God Himself. And thus we must treat it as sacred. Marriage is not something to be entered into lightly. I found a quote by President George W. Bush, and he simply says, "Our nation must defend the sanctity of marriage." You don't hear that much anymore, do you? So, the idea of marriage as a sacred unit, it's a biblical concept. Okay, and we all understand that. We know that. We just read where God instituted that. Marriage is struggling as an institution in our society. One of the things that I've never really done a lot of studying about, and I never really thought a whole lot about and preaching on this, and this is kind of why I wanted to talk about it tonight, is I've had to deal with some things in my family recently and some marital conflicts. And it's something that it is just, it's just killing me, okay? I'll go ahead and tell you, it's just terrible. And the more I've thought about things, and the more I've thought about what I need to do better as a husband to make sure that my relationship, okay, does not get to that point, get to the issue. And I was trying to think of some things and to help. And I want us to think about some things together tonight about resolving family conflict. And by the way, this is going to be a two-sermon thing. We're not going to do it all tonight. One of it's going to be the night, and if it's okay, I'm going to do it next Sunday night as well, part two of this, to think about some things that can help us. Because here's what I want us to understand. God never intended, okay, for our marriages to struggle like so many do today. Okay, God never intended for the marriage relationship to be like that. And so we've got to understand then that when we do have conflict that comes about, that we're going to work it out. We're going to work on it together, and we're not going to do this. We're not going to separate, okay, when we have problems. There are many sources of family conflict. And so if we're going to talk about how to deal with conflict, we've got to look at the sources behind them, right? What are the things that cause this conflict? And what I'm about to put up is definitely not an exhaustive list, okay? But I think there's a lot of them that are going to hit home. Okay, it doesn't take long. I listen to Dave Ramsey a lot, and I listen to him, you know, he's the old financial guy. And he talks, and guess what? And he says the number one cause of marital strife, the number one cause of marital strife in the United States is money. The old money thing, right? The old money problems, okay? Whether we argue over bills, whether it's over debt or spending or whatever the financial issues are, that causes strife, doesn't it? Okay, it can cause strife in our relationship. Parents and children can even have strife, okay, over, as the old saying, over allowances or, you know, what I want to have or what I should deserve or what I don't, you know, all these things. And so it can cause a lot of problems in the family relationship. Well, another one is that of just children in general, right? And we understand that. Because when the husband and wife, when they're together, it's only them to begin with, right? And then when children enter the picture, now all of a sudden you've got something that's taking time away, right? From one another. And so you're having to deal with those things, and there's a lot of conflict that can come from that. Okay, whether it has to do with discipline, or what they're eating, or what they're not eating, or how much they're eating, or whatever you want to call it. Other parenting issues can be sources of disagreement in the family. Also, when you have children, it accentuates the differences in beliefs maybe on how to discipline the children. You know, maybe before you have children, you don't really talk much about it, right? You know, bring it up one time, you know, you don't think about it. But then when you have children and then all of a sudden something comes up, you think you need to do it this way, and the other one says, well, no, I think we need to do it this way. And all of a sudden, you can have strife from that as well. Who's responsible for most of the child care? What educational options to choose, right? You can just go on and on and on. And those things can cause problems. This next one here, intimacy. If you Google it, okay, and I did that just because I always Google things now just to see. You can Google top 10 reasons for marital strife, top 10. Guess what? That they say this is number one. Okay? Intimacy. For spouses, whether it's frequency, infidelity, all are common sources of disharmony. Parents also struggle in guiding their children, okay, through all the landmines in our sex-crazed society that we have. We have to deal with things early and earlier with our children that we shouldn't have to deal with. But it causes strife and it causes these things. And so, these right here, if you think about these three things, and most of them, and I looked it up several times, these are the top three. Okay, these are your top three reasons of causing marital strife, okay, or family conflict. But there are other things we've got to think about. Okay, the idea of chores. If you look that up and you Google that one, that's number seven on the list of the top ten, by the way. Chores. And what we mean by that is many couples argue over maybe they're both working and they both are busy and they've got chores to do around the house. Okay, well how are you going to do the household work? How to do it? Instead of dividing household chores fairly, they quibble over who did what or who didn't do what, who's pulling their share, you know, not pulling their share. You can see how that can cause problems, right? Friends is also another issue that can cause conflict. What friends will be considered acceptable for spouses and children, right? We've got to be careful, spouses. They would say, oh, I've got a good friend at work, and maybe it's a friend of the opposite sex. Oh, well, we like to, you know, talk together. We do a lot of things together. You got to be careful. You can't be doing things like that. Okay, you can't go out to lunch with them, you know, by yourself. Oh, yeah, we're just good friends and do this, that. You can't do that. Okay, you've got to be careful. It can cause a lot of stress and conflict. Not all friends are helpful to relationships. Some of them are toxic. The idea of entertainment can also be a source of family conflict. What are we going to do with our spare time? Where shall we go? No, there are different interests that can threaten family relationships. We've got to be careful about this. I've known of several couples, okay, through, as the older I get, I know more and more. That's the bad part. Okay, but I know, and some have been in even my family. The husband and the wife, they had a kind of different interest. Well, guess what? The husband, he would go on vacation by himself. And then sometimes the wife would do other things by herself. Say, well, you know, I just don't want to do that with him, so I'm just going to let him go and do it. And he'd go off by himself. Well, guess what? They're not together today. Okay? You can say, well, that sounds good and everything. You know, he's got his interests. But you've got to learn to work together. Okay? In a marital relationship. And so you can't just say, well, I'll let you go off and do your thing, and then I'll go off later and do my thing and this and that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to be together. And it can cause a lot of problems. Well, here's one here, obviously, right? The idea of religion can cause, what shall we believe? How are we going to raise the children? Right? We already talked about that. What holidays are we going to observe or not observe? Religious differences can create much conflict in the family, right? We all understand that. That can cause a lot of problems or issues. Well, here's another one that can cause problems. Relatives, right? Oh, yeah, boy. Let me tell you what, that can cause problems, can it? Whether it's your brother-in-law or sister-in-law. Just kidding. Just see if y'all are awake. Y'all cut that. Okay? Whatever. You've got to be careful there. Okay? In-laws, grandparents, siblings, stepchildren can all create stress within a family. To what degree do we allow them to impact the family, our family? And so you've got to think about these things. You've got to think. These are sources of conflict. Also, expectations when you come into a family or into a marriage. We all go into a marriage and family with certain expectations. How many of us expect to be as mature as our parents? Or our standard of living to be equal to theirs when we first get married? Right? Oh, that's what mom and dad did. They had all these things. They have all this stuff. And we should have them too. And you forgot it was after 25 years of being married that they had these things. Okay, that they have these. But yet we want to have them now. And a lot of times we get in trouble. We have the wrong expectations about things. And so there's all kinds of things you can think about there. Unmet expectations are a major source of conflict in marriages and families. Right? Maybe we've got this perfect ideal thing in our heads of this is the way our spouse is going to be. You know, they're going to wait on us hand and foot. They're going to do this and that. They're always going to be dressed up perfect. They're never going to feel bad. Everything's going to be just great. And it's just going to be a wonderful honeymoon. Right? For 30 years, it's going to be just 40 years of honeymoon now, right? Okay, it's not going to happen. We've got to understand these things. Personalities are another area of conflict. Personality traits, personal habits. Okay, we'll talk more about this some next week, but you understand, right, that opposites attract. Right? It's great, isn't it? You know, when you're dating, oh yeah, man, we're opposite, but you just something about her. I'm attracted to her. Well, guess what? After you get married, what attracted you to them is going to start repelling you, right? When you're around it all the time. And that's all there is, right? You know, and then you say, well, I don't know what happened. You know, what the difference is. What's going on? Personalities, those things. Even adults can suffer problems, childish behavior, okay, and do things and we'll say things to our spouse that we would never say maybe to another Christian, never say to someone else. And yet we will jump down our spouse's throat at the least little thing. We've got to be careful. And there's many others. That's all I've got on here for this. But I found a few others looking at timing. Okay, the timing of things. Okay, can cause problems. Okay, conflicts. Quality time. Spending quality time with one another. Okay, or pet peeves. One says, oh, I got a pet peeve about this. It didn't bother me when we were dating, but now it's a problem, you know, this and this and that and this. And so we've got to be careful. And then jealousy can be a problem, can cause problem conflicts within a family. So then the question is then how do we resolve these things, right? What should be our attitude? Well, how should we work on these things? Because all these things are going to happen, right? Everybody's married is going, yeah. Everybody, yeah, it's going to happen. These things are going to happen. They're not just going to, you know, they're just not going to. Now, some of those you may say, oh, well, we don't have a problem with this one. We don't have a problem. But I guarantee you can find two or three up there you got problems with. Right? You got issues. You have issues from time to time with. So how are we going to deal with them? Okay, what are we going to do about it? Well, before we get too far, I want to share something that I found. And by the way, I've been looking for stuff. I've been trying to find stuff all over like crazy, trying to help me, trying to help things in my family. Judge Joseph Sabbath. That's the guy's name. Okay. We talked about Sabbath this morning, but anyway. Judge Joseph Sabbath, after 20 years of experience in presiding over what he called the nightmare world of the divorce courts. This is a judge in the divorce courts. He framed 10 commandments of a successful marriage, which he predicted could prevent at least 90% of marital smash-ups. Okay, now this man, I'm not trying to say this man was a Christian. I don't know anything about his name, but I want you to look at these things, okay, with me. We're just going to go on real quickly. He had a good grasp on it, I think. Okay? He saw after 20 years of all, think about what all came before him and what he had to listen to, what he had to deal with in the divorce courts and all that. Okay? And listen to what he said. Number one, he says, bear and forbear. Isn't that that's pretty good advice, isn't it? We need to bear with one another. We need to have forbearance. All right? The Bible, that's a Bible principle, right, that we're to have. He says, work together, play together, and grow up together. Okay, when you first are married, you're not grown up. Okay, I'm sorry, you're not. So you've got to work together, you've got to play together, and you've got to grow up together. He says, avoid the little quarrels, and the big ones will take care of themselves. You know, Dee Bowman has a book, and he kind of has something similar to this, and the way he titles his book is, Be Wise Small. If you are wise about the small things that come up in your marriage or in your family, he says, that'll take care of the big things. Okay, if you go off the handle, you just fly off the handle over the least little thing, what's going to happen when something big happens in your marriage? Right? When some big problem comes up, what are you going to do then? Be wise small. And that's what he's saying there. Avoid the little quarrels. Compromise. Give and take. He says it is the antitoxin of divorce. It's when you get to the point where you say, I'm not giving in this time. And by the way, I've heard that. I've heard that. Not from my spouse. I'm not my spouse. But in the what I'm having to deal with right now, that's what I'm hearing. I'm not giving in this time. Okay. Well, then there's not much else we're going to do then, right? If you have two parties that say, I'm not going to give in, I'm not going to do that, then what are you going to do? Practice sympathy, good humor, and mutual understanding. The longer you're married, the more you're going to have to get a good sense of humor, right? There's going to be a lot of things that if you don't start laughing about, you're going to start crying about it. Okay? And so you better... And my children, they laugh at me and Michelle sometimes about certain things that happen because I joke around Michelle. Michelle only laughs. She only really laughs really hard is when it's something funny that happens to me. Right? She'll just die laughing. But if something else going on, she won't laugh at it. I don't know what it is, but at least I can make her laugh now, right? So I don't know, but you've got to learn to laugh. You got to have good humor and mutual understanding. Okay, that is a biblical principle. Mutual understanding. You turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7 says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. We've got to live with our wives in an understanding way. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? It's much easier for us just to get mad and run out, right? Or storm out and just come, I'll come back later. I'll do this later. But we must live in an understanding way. That's how we've got to work out when marital strife happens, when things happen. He says, don't grouch before breakfast or after it. Right, that's pretty good advice, isn't it? Don't grouch before it or after it. Respect your in-laws, but don't criticize them or take criticism from them. That's what he said. Just be careful, right? Be careful in that. Establish your own home, even in a one-room flat. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have the biggest house in the world to be able to establish a home. Okay? Establish your own home. I like number 9. Fight for each other, but not with each other. Fight for each other, not with each other. See, that's the problem, isn't it? It's so easy for us to get so used to one another, we let our guards down, and then the least little thing bugs us, and then we jump on them. We want to do this, but yet, we need to be defending one another. Okay? Helping one another. Build your home on religious faith with love and forgiveness as the watchword. Like I said, I don't know anything about this man, his religion or anything about it, but notice what he said. build your home on religious faith with love and forgiveness as the watchword. And brethren, that's what I want us to think about as we continue tonight. That's the key. Okay? That's the key. You build your home on religious faith. You rebuild it. You build it upon God. That's how we're going to resolve family conflict. God is the answer. He's the answer to when we have problems. You see, our beliefs, our religious beliefs affect every area of potential conflict. Everything that we talked about before, child, money, friends, intimacy, all of those things, so on and so on. The Bible addresses these things if we will listen to it. Agree on religion and other problems will be easier to handle. With God on your side, you will have His blessing and providential aid. Ignore Him and you face your troubles on your own. And that's what we've got to make sure we don't let the devil inside. If we let the devil in, okay? And one of the ways we can do that, brethren, is letting anger in. Ephesians, Paul warns, give no place to the devil. That's the verse right after he says, be angry and sin not. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. You see, if we allow anger to build and we don't get rid of it immediately, it's going to blow up way out of proportion. Okay, and it can blow up the smallest little thing and all of a sudden it becomes gigantic. We've got to be careful. God is the answer. We must grow up in Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I want you to think about this thing, about adding to our faith. But I want us, we read this, we studied these, we talked about all of these things, about growing up. But I want you to think about it tonight with your marriage glasses on, through your marriage glasses. Now this is the very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they're not increasing, if you're not working on this, then guess what? You're not going to have self-control. And then you're going to have a lot of problems in your family. When things come up, you're going to lash out. You're going to jump when you should sit back and listen maybe. We've got to be careful. Also, think about this passage. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit growing up in Christ, the Spirit, the Word of God. Listen to what it says. The fruit of the Spirit, now listen to these qualities. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Did you see anger anywhere in there? You see wrath and bitterness and jealousy? No, the fruit of the Spirit does not have these things. Those things, by the way, are back up in the deeds of the flesh, verses 19 through 21. The things that we need to get rid of. You see, brethren, growing up in Christ will help our marriages. It will help our families to be what they ought to be. Also, treat your family like brethren. This is one, when I think of this, I think of the Andy Griffith Show. If you watch the Andy Griffith Show, there was this one show in particular, and there was this couple.
And they were fighting. And Andy and Barney would get a call all the time. Domestic violence, right? They'd be throwing stuff at each other. I mean, making and keeping people up at night. And so they had to call the police on them, right? Andy and them go to them. As soon as they walk in, they be throwing something at the duck, you know, and everything. But as soon as they turn around, oh, hey, Andy, how you doing? They were just the nicest people to everyone else. But they just did this right here to one another all the time. And so what this is saying, treat your family like brethren. We are to love one another. And then listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Showing tolerance for one another. Brethren, that also counts in a marriage. Showing tolerance for one another in love. Treat your family like brethren. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, forbearing with love. Just as loving brethren helps to ensure good days and answered prayers. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. We've already looked at verse 7 of that, right? It says, live with your wife in an understanding way, because if you don't, guess what? Your prayers will be hindered. Something to think about, isn't it? And someone says, you know what? I cannot treat my spouse like that. We're enemies. Okay, I got something for you then. Love your family like enemies then. Okay? If you're saying we're just enemies, we're always at each other. Well, the Bible says love your enemies. Love your enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, in verses 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you're saying your spouse is just your enemy, is the worst thing in the world, then you need to pray for them and do good to them. You pray for them and do good to them. And the last thing for tonight. You know what? Someone's got to be the bigger person. Someone has got to be the bigger person when you're having an argument, when you're having a spout, whatever you want to call it, a disagreement, whatever. You've got to be, and hopefully both of you are going to be the bigger person, right? But somebody's got to do it. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know what? I found out that when I come home in the afternoon, if my wife says something to me and I snap at her, that things are going to get worse before they get better. Okay? I found that out. I found out that I've got to watch how I respond to my spouse. And that's part of learning one another and caring for one another. Okay? We should not want to go off on our spouse. We should not want to let them have it. Okay, I'm going to teach them a lesson this time. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. That's not what God wants out of our marriages. Proper conduct more likely encourages the other person to do likewise. Okay? That's what we've got to remember. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, there are so many potential causes of family conflict. There's no way we can go over all of them. Exactly. But it's not surprising then, though, that there's so many families that are dysfunctional, isn't it? But when family members are willing to heed to God's word, potential problems will, when they do arise, we can quickly abate them. Because we have the answer. We know where we need, we know how we need to act. We know what we need to do, what we need to say, what we not need to say. Okay? And live in an understanding way and love each other and nourish each other. The home and family as Christ would have it can be one of the most wonderful blessings in the world. But we're going to have to work at it. It's not going to come naturally. The devil will see to that. Okay? We've got to work at it each day. Think about these things. And if you need to, maybe you're out there, you're thinking, boy, I need to make some changes. I need to make some changes too. Tell your spouse, let's work on these things together. Okay? God wants us to grow closer to one another. That's how we're going to make it. Grow closer to one another. I thank you for your attention. We're going to have more to say next Sunday night, Lord willing, to think about this, the second part of this. We're about to sing the song, What Will Your Answer Be? If we want to do things right, first thing we've got to do, in anything, we've got to turn to God. God is the answer. Okay? And if you have, and if both of us turn to God, the spouses and the children, all of us turn to God, then we can be what God wants us to be. I thank you for your attention tonight. We can help in any way in becoming a Christian and submitting to Him in simple obedience or turning back to Him. We urge you and beg you to come while we stand and sing.